you, Ms. Burke. Take your Bibles this morning and go to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 17 this morning. Genesis 17. And Genesis 17, you know, we find Abram and here, and we're going to do some reading today, but we'll read several verses, skip a few verses for time's sake this morning, but the message itself, or the tape room, and for all of us, the title of the message this morning is Humble Chuckles, Turn to Holy Confidence. Humble Chuckles, Turn to Holy Confidence. I don't know about you, but if you know the passage of Scripture this morning, you do realize God is coming to Abraham and wants to do a work in his life. Abraham has spent some time. If you know the book of Genesis a little bit, you know that God had pulled him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, had brought him out of that land. Abraham listened. God had really, he believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And then when times got tough and there was a little bit of a famine, he slipped down into the world again, slipped down into Egypt. Spent some time there, and even to the place where he feared. There's a man that had God on his side, and God had sent him out, but he went down and feared Pharaoh. And again, anytime we get in the world, we start to fear man. And it'll cause us, if we're not careful, to compromise. And that's exactly what Abraham did. And even some of the things, and I've heard preachers preach, and I believe it myself, that sometimes going down into Egypt oftentimes might have been what influenced Lot when they had that. And even some of the herdsmen, rather than being one group, he watched some things, and Abraham compromised a little. And then when they came out, there was fighting between the two herdsmen and the group, and then they had to separate. Maybe they wanted to take things a little bit farther than Abraham and his group was willing to go. They went a little step, but they weren't willing to go any farther than that. Lot wanted to go all the way down to Sodom. And so when given the chance, Lot separated from him. Now, Lot is just separated away from Adam, and God comes to Abraham. And he's going to speak to him. And again, God has promised Abraham over and over again that he's going to make him a great nation. He has promised him, and he's made a covenant with him. And now in this chapter, he's going to make a covenant with Abraham and ask Abraham to separate himself even to the place where he's going to give him a covenant of circumcision in his flesh. He wants him and everyone in his house to mark themselves and be different than anyone else in the everywhere else in the world. He's going to begin to separate a nation out of the Gentile people and bring the Jewish nation into existence at this place and time in this chapter. He's going to transition. Abraham is not going to be, he's going to give him a brand new name. Not Abraham, Abram, but Abraham. He's going to take Sarai, and it's going to be Sarah. And it's going to be identify who God sees them. They're not that person yet. You know, I don't know about you, but I mean, we just, this new devotional that's going to come out has got one whole month just about who we are in Jesus Christ and all the names God gives us. You know, when we got saved, we got the power to become the sons of God. Do you know the whole book is full of names that we can make true about ourselves only because God gave us power for that? God died on Calvary and made us. You know, you meet everybody in the world that says they're a Christian, it don't make them one. You can call yourself one, but it takes some sacrifice. Even Jesus said even a higher name that you can get close to God and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, you just don't get saved and become a disciple. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. He even told a group of people, you cannot be my disciple. And then listed off the things that they were going to have to give up in this life if they were going to follow him and truly be his disciple. Let me just tell you, there are some names worth earning in the Bible. There are some names worth coming to a place where they are true about you. There are a lot of people that throw the name Christian around loosely in our day. But the name Christian means to be Christ-like. Even in the book of Acts, it marks a group of people at Antioch who, through diligent separation and study of one full year, began to be called Christians first at Antioch. They didn't tell everybody else, hey, I'm a Christian. The world started saying, they look and act like the one they love, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're Christians. Folks, what a blessing it is when you don't have to go flashy tell everybody what you are, but when they see you and say, now that's a Christian. One time when I was in Bible college and I wasn't dressed up in a suit and tie, you know, I like Brother Hiles. Brother Hiles used to say that all the time, that, you know, I'd like to at least be mistaken to be a preacher for the way I look. Amen. He said, you know, so I'm going to dress like one. You know, he said, I'd like for somebody to mistake me for one, even if I can't preach like one. You know, he'd kid around like that. But, you know, I mean, me and one of the guys, we were on maintenance. I had a collared shirt on, a pair of khaki pants, paint all over them. Had been working all day, sweaty, and I was at Popeyes getting some fried chicken. What else do you do at Popeyes? Amen. And a man just driving down 27 like so many people do crossing the state pulled in, and we're sitting there eating, having a good time, smiles on our face, just talking. And he walked up. He said, are you guys Christians? He said, there's just something different about you. Could I sit and eat with you guys? And it was just a man crossing the state, going somewhere, eating by himself, but saw two guys that had what he could see was true joy in Jesus Christ, and sat down and ate with us. Listen, I don't know about you, but one of the things that happens to a Christian is we come to a point of decision where we realize, because everybody in this room, if I ask you, is there anything too big for God? You'd say no. God can do anything. But when it comes to you and in your life and God working in your life, you don't think God can do it with you. Oh, he can do it. You know, preacher says, we're going to do this. You say, yeah, he can do it with the preacher. Yeah, he can do it with one of the deacons. He can do it with so-and-so. But, you know, God desperately wants to use you. Do you know Abraham come to a place in his life and he didn't think that God could do the work that God said he would do? You see, Abraham believed the promises of God, but then about halfway through, he thought he had to help God along with it. He came up with his own plan. Now listen, I'm looking at a crowd of people in this room. Some of you have been saved a long time. God's been working in your life for a long time. Some of you not as long as others. But God desperately wants to use you for his work in his will, but he's going to do it his way, not your way. And some of us, we don't realize, we don't come up with our own way until we've spent a little time in Egypt. And you say, well, I've never done that. Well, people that have been saved a little while, sometimes they, you know, they stagnate. Maybe they get a little starving and they start looking in the wrong place for encouragement. They dip in the wrong well with the wrong preacher. Well, I know he's just a little different. I'm just telling you, we live in an age where you can just dial all kinds of people up and you think they're not too far off. I can gain something from it. You can also take something you can never forget out of there too. Let me just say it to you again. Spiritual adultery is a real thing. And I'm not talking about me, but I'm just saying, you know, God, the continuing in the early church and the apostles' doctrine, you know, throughout history, people have continued to split away from true doctrine. There's a great big one that doesn't even call itself a church. We call it a church. The Roman Catholics, they don't consider themselves Christians. There's some of them that don't know what they believe that would claim it. Hey, you can go down the street, and then anything that split itself off of that. You can reform, but again, reformation is you know, most of everything that came out of the Catholic Church didn't come out far enough. You say, preacher, you saying that on Sunday morning? I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just trying to tell the truth. You say, well, you think you're the only one right. No, I think this is the only thing right. Amen. I want to line up with this book. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 1, it begins by reading this. And it says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abram, and he said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying. Now you say, what are you talking about? I want you to see, Abraham spends a lot of time on his face before God. You may say, well, Abraham talked with God like he was his friend. Yeah, you can talk with God like he's your friend as well, but he's the Almighty God. It already stated that in the scripture. And when Abraham talked to God, I want you to understand, he was on his face before him. You say, well, why do we, can you pray? I believe you can pray standing up. I believe you can pray sitting down. You can pray laying straight, but I'm just telling you, when you're talking with Almighty God, there ought to be a reverence about you. There ought to be, at least in your heart of hearts, it ought to be bowed to the Almighty God. Positionally, there's all kinds of different ways you can be when you call out before his name, but here we see a humble spirit, at least a humble position from Abraham. It's important to see that, because if you think, there's a lot of people that think flippantly that they can talk to Almighty God however they want to. They want to quote Jeremiah 33:3 and be pointing at God. No, when we call out to him, we need to be face down. When you come boldly before the throne of grace, it to me, the picture that I see is coming boldly and falling on my face before a holy God. Humbly before him. He goes on, he says here, and Abraham fell on his face in verse number 3, and God talked with him, saying, and for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Now from verse 10 to 14, he speaks specifically about the covenant he makes with him in his flesh. So pick up reading with me in verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son, indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. I want you to see some key things here that Abraham laughed. He was falling on his face before God. Look back at verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? You know, we've said much about becoming one flesh. There's been weddings that have taken place recently. And here Abraham and Sarah believed God, and he counted it to them for righteousness. But then coming out of the world and the world's gods. Do you know there's so much that the gods of this world, they always want us to do things for them. That's the only way anything gets done with the dead God. It's always you making it happen, and then you turn to the idol that you've worshipped and thank it. You know, we get lost in some of those things. We're so bombarded by humanism and making a God of ourselves and doing things ourselves that if we're not careful, listen, they come up out of Egypt and they bring somebody with them. a handmaid. They realize that the great desire of their heart is that they have a child. And Sarah says, well, you know, she's my handmaid, and we could have a child with her, and then it could be our child, Abraham. He'd be somebody that you could leave all these things to. Now that Lot's not there, now it's really somebody. See, Lot was somebody that was in the house, and Abraham treated like his son. Somebody that he took care of, and they had that presence in their home. But when that presence left, all of a sudden, things really clicked up. They realized that there was an emptiness and something that God had promised. And they said, you know what? This is the way we can do it. The danger of America and your family, your lives, and your personal walk with God is the danger of, instead of waiting for God to do a miracle in and through your life, and for Him to, get all the glory, because it only was God that could do it. Is you saying, here's how we could do it. Here's how we could get it done. Here's how we can shortcut God's will and His way. Now, I just want you to know that here in the scripture, God does nothing but bless Ishmael. But I just want you to know that this has been a thorn in the flesh of the seed of Abraham for a long time. Wars and rumors of wars, and it will continue until Jesus returns. All of those princes that he spoke of, all are constantly trying to own the same land that they claim their father Abraham had. All of everything we know of the Muslim groups and their religion all stem back right here from this sin. And sometimes we miss it, but I just want you to know that God is a good God. But He's not going to compromise. He's not going to do it your way. I want you to see, number one, that Abraham laughed at God's plan. You say, I'd never do that, preacher. Well, look at this. You know, how about if God showed up for you? Some of you folks are gray-haired, and you may not be 99. But what if God showed up you tomorrow and said, you're going to have another child? Right? You do what you're doing now, laugh. Abraham faced down to the ground, not in a humble inside himself. The Bible even tells us, look at the details. It says, and Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart. Let me ask you, God has asked you to do some great thing for him in his work and in his will. Did you laugh at him? Let me ask you that. And how about this? You didn't say it out loud that God couldn't do it, but what'd you say in your heart? God couldn't do that with me. God couldn't use me. Hey folks, you're looking at a preacher that lied to himself for a long time. I'm just telling you, I tried to do it my own way. God called me to preach. I was 18 years old. Went off to Bible college, spent a year there, and come home and said, that is not for me. That ain't the kind of preaching God wants me to do. I got on my bus route. I got in jail. They let me out every time. I just went to preach. Hey, I'm just telling you, anywhere the preacher would let me preach, any job he'd give me to do, I did what God had commanded me to do, and I preached. But I realized that God had called me into his work. And at 30 years old, all that time I kept saying, that's not what God wants with me. That's not what God wants to do in my life. God, I know that you know, but I can't do that. I can't say that I remember a time that I laughed at God, but I know that I talked in my heart with myself, and I kept saying, that's not what God could do with me. God could never do that with me. You don't think that's like that? How about Moses? Listen, if anybody had an opportunity to realize that he saw a burning bush in the wilderness that was not consumed, and he turned aside, and God spoke to him from the bush. And God said, I want you to go and carry my word to Pharaoh. He said, me? I can't do that. I'm not a good speaker. I can't speak the way you want me to speak, God. God's standing there thinking, didn't I make your tongue? Don't I know about every piece of your DNA chain and everything that is about you? Don't tell me what I can't do. Sometimes we believe God can do anything with finances through His church and for His ministry, but we don't think He can touch my home and my wallet. We think God can do anything through His ministry and His church, but He can't do it in my family. And when we get afraid to go and talk to a holy God, and when God says, when we get peace, when we finally get to the place where we'll ask Him to do something that has to be God, then when God gives us peace, do we laugh? Do we say in our heart, surely He's not going to do that with me? It just caught me funny after reading over and over this story that God has been repeating Himself about what He was going to do over and over and over again in the life of Abraham. And then Abraham decided, you know what? I'm going to help God out. I'm going to do it for God. I don't know about you, but folks, I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot of people that have been waiting on God a long time, and they change their doctrine because they're going to help God out. You know, we live in a convenient age, and I believe my whole life, and all the preachers told me that Jesus is coming back. And the next thing on His calendar is the rapture. But if you're not careful, you know what you'll do? You'll look all around at the signs of the time, and if you're not careful, you'll get duped into thinking all this age of people that Jesus is, you know, somehow we got to go halfway through the tribulation period. We'll begin to change our doctrine because of what we see around us instead of believing that God is the same God that He's always been, that this book is the same truth that it's always been. And instead of compromising with somebody else that's going to mix us up with some new doctrine, why don't we just trust God? I don't know if you heard this, but listen, Pastor Carter's been preaching this for ages. When we get late in the late stages, when Jesus is about to come, they're going to start telling everybody that aliens snatched us away. I don't know if you saw it, but even the news media is trying to tell us that the wildfires in Canada were started by aliens. When I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I mean, they say it was lightning. Now, you can believe that came from Mother Nature, but everything that happened once the fire started burning sounded like God to me. That a low pressure system came and sat off of the U.S. coast and pushed all the smoke to New York City. Right on top of D.C. and everywhere else that they were planning a great big gay pride parade of everybody. You know? And instead of marching them out in the street and putting their masks on them, because that saves you from everything, they canceled it all. And you say, that was aliens. I'm telling you, we're coming to an age where they're going to try to blame every supernatural event that God begins to bring on planet Earth, because it's His plan and it's His miracle hand working on those things, because nothing's too hard for God. They're going to start telling us over and over again, that had to be aliens. That had to be, they're going to come up with some other thing instead of, that's God's hand. You know, Abraham, he's here, and he said, you know what? I'm 99 years old. I better go on and take care of this thing myself. It's obvious my wife can't have a child. So even his wife went along with the plan. Folks, he didn't go out of anything. I mean, his wife said, you do this. This is a good plan. That was probably his first mistake. He listened to his wife, right? Come on, man. I expect half you men to say amen right there. Amen. Listen, folks, I'm just going to tell you right there, he made a mistake. God, here he changes their names and said, this is who I see you are. Do you know many of you, God sees you as a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. He sees you, maybe some of you, he sees you as a missionary, maybe to your neighborhood or to some foreign land. And God has told you in your heart, that is what he's called you to do. But when he told you, you laughed. I could never go to Africa. I could never go to South America. I could never spend my life seeking God and searching for folks that are lost and need the gospel of Jesus. You know, God wants to use us. But many times when he calls us, we laugh. I could never do that. And then under our breath and in our heart, we begin to tell God all the reasons why it would never work. When God is the God of the impossible. Hey, I'm here to tell you today, you may not believe it, but some of you know my sons, and my sons are, man, they'll say, they're quiet. And I'm like, you must not know them. Because when they're home, boy, they ain't quiet. But you know, I was the same person. Man, growing up in high school, I was quiet. I was a popular kid, but that's because I didn't open my mouth and share how stupid I was with everybody. Hey, I'm just being honest with you. But when God called me to preach, I wasn't one of those people that said, I can do that. I said, there's no way, God, you could use me for that. Folks, all the way through my life, every time God has wanted to do something in my life, I'm no different than just like everybody else. If I'm not careful, instead of trusting God and waiting on Him patiently to do the work in my life and to show up and do a miracle in and through my life where everybody can clearly see that that is God, every time I've wanted to tell God why He couldn't do it. I've wanted to tell God why He couldn't use me. You need to find another fellow because this guy can't do it. And listen, you know the answer always from God is, I know you can't. I never said you could. I said I would. Hey, folks, I just want to be a believer. And listen, if we're not careful, I'm looking at a group of people. You know, God has sent us out to win the world to Jesus Christ. And we live in an age where people think it can't be done. But listen, that's because you think God wants, you think you've got to do it. But God can do it. We talked about the internet and all the perverse things that people use it for, but you know, it's getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out around the world today. The radio station, God, even all the tools that have taken so many people away from God, God is using them to bring people to Jesus Christ. We need to be diligent. We need to fall on our faces before God, not laugh at Him and say, God, how can I be used? Help me to wait on You and trust You to go farther than I ever thought I could. How about this? Number two, I want you to see this. Abraham longed for God to use his substitute. How long have you begged God for God to use? Listen, you know, every one of us, if we're not careful, if we really looked hard enough in our life, we probably would find our Ishmael. The thing that really wasn't in God's plan, but we brought that into the mix. And then we thought, there's no way God can use us because now we got Ishmael. Or how about this? I got Ishmael, just use him instead. That's what Abraham said. God, I know you wanted to bring a child in my life, but just use Ishmael instead. You know, can you imagine the heart of God saying, that messes up the picture. That messes up the purity. And I mean, God could go through the list of things that tries to tell you. He doesn't say anywhere that He hated Ishmael. In fact, He says, listen, I seen him. I've heard your prayer. I'm going to bless him. He's going to be a great man. But he's not going to be my man. He's not going to be the one I use. I'm going to do it my way. The way I told you from the beginning. Next year at this time, Sarah will have Sarah. Not Sarai. She's going to be different. She's going to begin to be the mother of many nations. She's going to have a child next time this. I don't know about you, but I don't know. I mean, I look back through. Can you imagine all the people that long for God? I mean, this is not a brand new occurrence. Abraham is only doing what is natural. Eve had a son. They named him Cain. And she said, here's the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. I've had a son. Cain probably had a complex, and one of the reasons, because his mom's been telling him he's going to be the savior of the world his whole life. That wasn't God's plan. It sure sounded like it was Eve's plan. I've gotten me a man, child from the Lord. Cain decides he can make his own sacrifice. He begged God to take his substitute. I know you wanted an offering, God, of blood, but take my vegetables. Take it as a substitute. God says, no, that's not pure. That's not a good picture. That's not going to catch it. That's not going to count. What did Cain do? He got mad. Do you know every Christian is going to come at the crossroad of your life where your substitute isn't going to measure up to God's standard and you're going to have to do it God's way? And a lot of people never make it like Cain didn't. A lot of people get mad with God. I tried to serve God, but He didn't want it. I tried to do it God's way. He didn't accept it. Hey, folks, Abraham does the right thing here. You know what he does? He believes God. He trusts God. You say, preacher, I don't understand. I don't understand why you're... Listen, there's a world full of people that keep adding works to salvation when Jesus said it's just grace. Faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work. It's never been about your work. It'll never be about your work. You can't get baptized enough to get saved. You can't do enough Sunday school work to get saved. You cannot do anything that will allow you except the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary to save you. And the problem is, so many people long to add or have a substitute. And if you're not careful, you'll listen to the crowd that wants to compromise and they'll say, well, there's many ways to be saved. No. There's one way. And He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. I didn't make it exclusive. Jesus made it exclusive. He's not going to share the glory of salvation with anybody or anything. You know, if you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say, think about this. God wants us to know Him through obedience. Think about this. I mean, to experience the new birth in salvation. I want to know God and to know that it's only through Him. I didn't do anything to get it. God wants to know me, right? God wants not only to know me through the new birth and being born again into salvation, but God wants to know me. He wants to really know me. How about this way? Living for God and His will. Do you know how close you get with God when you decide that you're not going to be your own person anymore, but you're bought with a price? That you're God's and that His way is your way. That His word is your word. That you love Him that way. Think about this. God wants to know you this way. He wants you to experience being used of God. I look out over the auditorium and listen, I stand here behind the pulpit of a building that wouldn't be here if a bunch of people hadn't let God's plan work in and through them to build something for God. That tower that we have for college, I've seen the work that it took. And God used people that He asked and they answered the call, but they did it God's way. For His will and His glory. You know, Abraham learned some valuable lessons. He learns, number one, that God refuses to compromise with our substitutes. Listen, the whole world is trying to get us to compromise with them. Listen, we're in the middle of a month where the world wants us to compromise with their sin. God's not going to compromise. God's word's not going to compromise. And we ought not compromise. We ought to stand on the book and tell them just what the book says. We ought to walk with God and believe God. You say, well, there's some powerful people. Listen, I'm proud to have a governor that'd stand up to a corporation in our state that thinks they own us. You may think he's done so many great things. One of the greatest things I believe about our governor is that he took it to Disney and said, you're not above anybody. You're not above the law. You say, well, preacher, you're just talking about a group. Well, how many other corporations that people fall in love with that's they embrace something that God hates? Say, preacher, you getting getting it out. Listen, I'm reserving some things right now. God's not going to compromise, because in Hebrews 13:8 he says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you expect God ever to let down his standard or to change his law, everybody that's ever going to be saved is always going to come through Jesus Christ. Everybody that is going to live godly in this present world is going to come God's way. They're not going to take it watered down. He's not going to have that. God is not going to compromise. Number two, God is not surprised by your Ishmael. God has blessings for your Ishmael. God can use your Ishmael, but he's not going to be a substitute for the thing that God has wanted from you from the start. And that always is connected to obedience. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm just saying, listen, folks, you say, well, God called me to preach. I'm going to go do this. God ain't going to be happy until you do what God wants you to do. God called me to do this. God's not going to be happy. Look at somebody that can tell you from experience, God is not going to let you have the peace and joy that you can have in his will until you do it God's way. You can put up all the Ishmaels in the halfways that you want to. It's never going to turn out the way God wants it, and you're never going to be happy until you do it God's way. We live in an age of compromise and shortcuts. Everybody wants convenience, and God wants it his way. You can't, you say, what do you mean? Well, you can't shortcut salvation. All right? You can't put baptism before salvation and count it. You can't shortcut salvation. You can't go and say, well, I did this, this, and this, or God saved me from a car accident. That's not salvation from hell. Just because you're alive and breathing, that is God's graciousness. That don't mean you're on your way to heaven. I've met so many people at the door and talked to them in the grocery store that think they're on their way to heaven because God spared their life. He spared you so you could get saved. If you're in the building this morning and God has spared you from some natural disaster or accident, and you made it in here and you think you're on your way to heaven because God was gracious, you better think again. God was not only gracious to keep you alive, but God was gracious to send his son from heaven to die on Calvary and to pay for your sin debt with his very own blood, and then rose again in power that you might be able to raise up one day and be with him in heaven. What would you do if God came? Listen, there's going to be a day you'll stand before him and you'll answer and say, will you save me from that car accident? With tears and a broken heart, the Lord Jesus that died on Calvary for you will have to point at you who he not only died for and paid for your sins, but he spared your life so you could hear the gospel today and receive Jesus Christ. And that same God will look at you and say, depart from me. I never knew you. God desperately wants you to know him in salvation. The compromise of this world is putting it off to another day. See, we live in a day and age where people think God is just like them. And even though we're made in his image, we are not like God. And God does not reveal himself to satisfy your curiosity. God reveals himself so that you might be saved. God reveals himself to you so that you can become a son of God. So you can become born again into the family of God. And then, and only then, will God begin to use you in his work and in his will and his way. Listen today, many of you, I know you're saved. The message was to you today, because Abraham had already believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. But if Abraham could get away from God and try to do it his own way, you could too. And you may be there today. And you can come back to him the same way and say, God, I'm not going to try to push any more substitutes on you. I'm going to do it your way. If you're here and you're not saved, You came in here today thinking that you knew Jesus Christ as your Savior, but there's never been a time for a Bible reason that you accepted Jesus Christ and His finished work of Calvary. That's what salvation truly is. Putting your faith and trust wholly and solely in the person of God's Son. If you've never done that today, today can be the day of salvation for you. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure and leave and take that home with you because of a Bible reason. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, as we stand to our feet and the musicians come, I'm going to pray. And when I finish praying, I pray that you'll step out and come. If you've got something between you and God, you've had a substitute between you and God, why don't you come and talk to Him? If you're here and you need to be saved, would you come and meet me in the front? We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. I do believe, God, that You can do anything. And today, God, some people that have been putting it off and say, God could never save a sinner like me. Today, I know that You could save them if they'd step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle and receive You as their Savior. There are some that think God could never use me in His work. I'm too old. No, God could use them if they just step out and surrender in obedience to Your command. Whatever they need to do, God, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that You would draw men to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if Jesus spoke to your heart this morning, the Holy Spirit is drawing you to receive Him as your Savior, why don't you step out and come? This is an old-fashioned invitation, and you may never have been in a church that had one of these, that we're inviting you to come down and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. We want you to know for sure that heaven will be your home before you leave this place. And so if God is speaking to you, please come as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within,
if you're here this morning, you didn't get saved this morning, and you know you need to, it would be the blessing of my life to be able to take the Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. I'll be at the back door. I'll be back there, and I'll be shaking hands, but all you need to do is say, Preacher, I know I need to be saved this morning. I'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here this morning, and maybe you didn't make that transition, that, you know, maybe you're in the pew and saying, God, I need to get rid of my Ishmael, my substitute that I've made. Listen, I pray you'll do that. One of the hardest things in this life is realizing that you've shortcutted God in some way and come back from that. But, you know, I can give a testimony today, and I did during the message, but I'll say it again. I serve a God of second chances. He didn't change his mind about me. Amen. Even though sometimes I didn't think that I could do it, when I finally figured out God could, you know, and I was obedient to him. Listen, and I know that this building is full of people that God wants to use in a mighty way. In a mighty way. If you'll just allow God to do it in your life. And I want that for you more than anything. That's what this preacher wants, is the will of God for your life. And so I hope you'll do that, whether you do it at the altar, whether you do that in the pew, whether you do that tonight, that you'll make that commitment to you and God. It's not to me. It's between you and God. We're going to close out in prayer, but if you are here and you're not saved, please don't leave lost. Please see me at the back door. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Brother Perkins, would you close us in prayer?
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you for the time we've had together. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus. And as we dismiss here this morning, Lord, I pray that you'll take us home safe. Bring us back safe tonight. We'll love you and praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.